The Old Testament reading for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said, see that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilence. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on in the world, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as you see them come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Luke 21, verse 5 to 36. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since ancient times, prophets have been explaining the meaning of omens in the sky and the shape of the future. Since his disciples believed that Jesus was a prophet, it was natural that at some point they would ask him about the future and the end of the world. Our gospel lesson in Luke records Jesus' teaching about the end times. He gave this sermon to his disciples during Holy Week while they were sitting on the Mount of Olives, looking west toward Jerusalem and its temple. Parallel accounts of this discourse are found in Matthew 24, 1 to 22, and 29 to 31, and in Mark 13, 1 to 20, 24 to 27. Before we look at some of the details in this sermon of Jesus, we need to realize its place in biblical literature. The Old Testament has a number of prophecies about the end times, but it is often difficult to determine if these were fulfilled by Christ in his lifetime or will be fulfilled in his second coming. The New Testament also has numerous passages talking about the end times, but these only talk about one or two aspects of the whole. The book of Revelation is the most comprehensive account of the end times, but except for the first three chapters, it is notoriously vague, symbolic, and very confusing. Only our gospel lesson and its parallel passages, and this discourse is known as the Little Apocalypse, paint a full an orderly picture that we can understand of the end times. The question that prompted the sermon of Jesus is found in Matthew 24, verse 3. The disciples came to Jesus on the Mount of Olives and asked him, quote, "Tell us when the temple will be destroyed, and what will be the sign of your coming, and what will be the sign of the end of the world?" Now you should note that here they're asking three separate questions. So some of our gospel answers one question, and some of it answers another. So part of the interpretation of the text is trying to figure out which question is Jesus answering here. The first end time event to take place has already happened. It was the destruction of Jerusalem. It is described in verses 12 to 24 in our text. Look at verse 12 if you have it there in your bulletin. Jesus says, "Before all these things take place." So this indicates that the destruction of Jerusalem would take place first, before the end of the world, and before Jesus' coming. We know that this is true because it has already happened in general world history. In 70 AD, the Roman armies destroyed the entire temple and its courts. The Romans also slaughtered all the residents of Jerusalem, almost all of whom were Jews. Jesus' first intent in verses 12 to 19 was to warn his disciples of the upcoming persecution that they would face by the Jewish authorities in Palestine. Now, the book of Acts records just a few of those stories, the most prominent ones, including the arrest of Peter and John in Acts 4, the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, the beginning of the great persecution, the general persecution with a lot of people being killed, that is, Christians being killed, Acts 8, 1-3, the martyrdom of James, son of Zebedee, in Acts 12, 2, and the arrest and trial of Paul in Acts chapter 21-23. The book of Acts ends about 60 AD, before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus' intent, then, in verses 20 to 24, was to warn the church of Jerusalem, those that were still living there, from about 60 to 70 AD, of the upcoming destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. This is clear in verse 20 when it says, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near." When they saw those armies, Jesus wanted his believers that were still there to leave the city and also leave Judea immediately and in a hurry, just like Lot and his family left Sodom and Gomorrah immediately and in a hurry. The message Jesus is telling to those people was, don't look back, don't go back. There won't be anything worth saving once the Roman armies finish the job, and they're very good at doing that. The verses in our text that talk about the end of the world include verses 8 to 11, verse 25, and 26. Verse 9 is an important key here. As Jesus says, the end will not be at once. A better translation here would be the events of the end times will not happen all at once. The parallel in Matthew 24, verse 8 is even clearer, which states, all these are the beginning of the birth pangs or pains. Now, those of you who've had children might remember how birth progresses. My wife and I have had three, and each one was a little different, but some of it is pretty much the same. It starts with lower back pains. Ladies, do you remember that? Something's happening back there. Then mild contractions. Then the contractions come more frequently. and then ever more frequently and stronger until the child is born. In the same way, the signs of the end actually began on Good Friday. The sun didn't give its light. And after Jesus was gone and dead, earthquakes, temple torn in two, saints coming out of their tomb. It's the beginning of the end at Jesus' crucifixion. And that will continue to come in greater frequency and strength until Jesus returns. So what are the signs, or what are the omens? In verse 8, Jesus warns the disciples of false Christs who proclaim, "I am he." In the same verse, Jesus warns of false prophets who proclaim, "The time is at hand." Even though false Christs and false prophets don't speak the truth, and the time is not at hand, and they're not the Messiah, yet they are themselves signs of the end. Think about it. Muhammad proclaimed that he was God's last prophet, and that the Quran was God's last revelation. His teaching was false, but his existence points to the end times. Jesus said there would be people like him. Everything's going on in the Middle East right now is because of Muhammad. Joseph Smith proclaimed that he was God's last prophet and that the Book of Mormon was God's last revelation. His teaching was false, but his existence and what's going on in the state of Utah points to the end times. The Korean religious leader Sun Myung-moon, who died in 2012, is the most recent of these prophets who claim to be a Messiah. We could go on throughout history and finding many, both Jewish and Christian and Mohammedan messiahs. Then we get to verses 9 and 10 that talk about wars and riots. I think of what's going on in Hong Kong these days. Revolutions and all manner of violence of man against man. Verse 11 talks about natural disasters such as great earthquakes. Well, we know what those are like. Famines, epidemic disease, and huge storms like the Joplin, Missouri tornado of 2011 destroyed a third of my dad's hometown, and the Camp Fire of 2018 that obliterated the town of Paradise. Some irony there. It includes signs from heaven like meteorite showers and Comet Shoemaker-Levy that put some big dents in the huge planet Jupiter in July 1994, and you look at the size of those dents, and they're bigger than the planet Earth. The final end times are described in verses 25 to 27. Then there'll be signs in outer space, in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. The forces that control and give order to the universe will be altered in some way. The Bible says they'll be shaken. Then in verse 27, everybody on earth will see Jesus coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Revelation 20, verses 11 and 15 adds to this the image of a great white throne with Jesus seated upon it. And then the judgment of all peoples in the history of the world will then take place. And that is how the world as we know it will finally end. So now that you know all this, what should you be doing? Jesus warns you first, verse 8, see that you're not led astray by the false prophets and false messiahs who are coming. And then Jesus encourages you, verse 9, when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. Finally, in verse 28, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Sit up in your seat. Raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. For believers in Christ, the signs of the end times are signs and symbols of their salvation and their wonderful eternal destiny with Jesus and all the saints in heaven. For unbelievers, the signs of the end are signs and symbols of their impending doom and their warnings, their last warnings, to please come to the faith. From the beginning of the Old Testament, we have an example about how we as believing Christians should view the ongoing and upcoming events of the end times. God said through Moses to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh was not impressed or moved, so God sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. But against whom were those plagues directed? Against Pharaoh and his people, who were the oppressors and enemies of Israel. In many or most of the plagues, the people of Israel were completely spared. In all of them, they were forewarned about what to do. In the last plague, on the day of Passover, the firstborn of the Israelites were spared the angel of death by the blood of the lambs sprinkled on their doorposts. In the same way, the disasters and troubles of the end times are directed against unbelievers and those who oppress believers. Believers may suffer some of these things in their own lifetime, but ultimately will be saved by the blood of the Lamb that was sprinkled on the cross. That ultimate salvation is what we are reminded of every time we receive the blood of the Lamb in the Christian Passover, that is, the Lord's Supper. Even so, as we near the end of the church year, may you continue to hope for the return of Jesus and the consummation of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.